Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, August 1st. I'm Ray Graff. We're joined today by Chris Morris. Chris manages the Trails Program at the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation. He also oversees the agency's Empire State Trail Program, which handles communication and coordination for the 750-mile-long multi-use trail that stretches from New York City to Albany, Buffalo, and north along the Champlain Valley up to Canada. We'll talk about the many opportunities for recreation the Empire State Trail offers, as well as the other trails in New York State parks. And we'll also learn about the Centennial Challenge. You want to talk? We want to listen. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. It's Chris Morris, and your call's coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. 100 years ago, New York Governor Alfred E. Smith and the legislature created the State Council of Parks, which created what is now the Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation. Today, it features over 250 properties, including 360,000 acres of beaches, campgrounds, golf courses, nearly 2,000 miles of trails. We're joined today by Chris Morris. He manages the Trails Program at the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation. He oversees the agency's Empire State Trail Program. So if you want to talk about hiking and trails, specifically the things that New York State offers, we'd love to hear from you today. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Chris Morris, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ray. Really excited to be here.
You're excited?
I am. What do you think? I'm a fan, I told you.
The sumptuous Studio A. What do you think? Nice, huh?
It's a dream come true.
Wow, it's amazing. You're easily amused. Hey, man, thanks for being on the show. Now, full disclosure, I'm not really much of a hiker. So you're going to tell me a lot of things I don't know today about the Empire State Trail and all the stuff that you do. But before we do that, I mentioned at the outset here that it's been 100 years since the creation of the State Council of Parks. This is a big year, 2024, and you have this thing called the Centennial Challenge. What is that?
So, yeah, it's 100 years celebrating state parks. It's our centennial year in 2024. It's the centennial celebration. There's a couple of challenges. We have Share Your Story and the Centennial Challenge. It's not my wheelhouse exactly, but our public affairs folks have put together some great challenges for people that want to interact.
Why is it not your wheelhouse?
Well, I do trails. You know, I'm not out
there. So you're
there.
An outdoorsy sort.
Good for you.
Good for you.
They're the ones that put together all the promotional pieces.
So if it stinks, you blame them?
No, not at all. They know the details. But everybody, the website is the best place to go for all the information.
Gotcha.
But yeah, people can compete in challenges. You know, they can go camping. They can visit a new park. They can, you know, even when it turns winter, go skiing, ice skating, go see a historic site and an interpretive center, join a volunteer event. And there's an app that they can use to kind of register for that and check off their accomplishments.
Tell me about this. It's 750 miles long?
Sure.
That's a lot of trail.
So Empire State Trail, yeah, 750 miles. Albany to New York City, Albany west to Buffalo, Albany north to Canada. It is a multi-use rail trail, bike path, shared use path, and it extends basically to all four corners / three corners of the state. It's an incredible recreation and even transportation corridor and destination for a lot of people.
Nobody does the whole thing, though, right?
Lots of people do the whole thing.
How many people do the whole 750 miles?
I don't have counts. I know that just for the Cycle the Erie Canalway ride, which our partners Parks and Trails New York organize every year, there were over I can't remember the number for that. I know for the Hudson Valley one, there's over 200. I think they had over 500 participants in the Empire or the Erie Canalway ride.
And most are bikers, I would say.
Yeah, that's an organized bicycle ride. And a lot of the end-to-enders, as we'd call them for the Empire State Trail, are bicyclists. You can certainly walk it. It's a multi-use path. Certain very short sections you can use your horse on if you're an equestrian.
You're kidding me.
That's you know, horses and mules drag the canal boats, right?
No, so, no, I understand that horses are a fine thing, but someone might get run over by a horse, yeah?
No,
all right?
Everybody gets along on the trail.
This is exciting stuff. I tell you what, Chris Morris, it's great to have you on the program. The number here is 800-348-2551 if you would like to talk about the trails. And another thing, when you sent me some notes here, 250-plus public properties that are open. So these are all under the Parks Department.
Yeah, Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation, which that last component is key, too, right? We have parks that, you know, a lot of folks around here would be familiar with, Thatcher, Grafton, Saratoga Spa State Park, you know, obviously multi-use trails, too, then historic sites. So whether you're down, you know, obviously the Hudson Valley is awash in history. So many of the historic sites around here, Schoharie Crossing, a little bit west of here, they're also under our agency umbrella.
How much of the 750 miles of the Empire State Trail have you done?
Oh, you know, I haven't calculated it
up. What part are you missing?
I'm missing a few places in western New York. I haven't done the Champlain route yet because I just haven't gotten up
you
there.
You got to be in shape to
get
go up
there.
In the mountains, yeah?
Well, it's generally along that Champlain Valley, so it's not quite as mountainous as you might think. But, yeah, it's a lot of them are on rail trails and old, you know, canal paths, so the elevation change isn't as bad as you might think. It's relatively accessible for a lot of people.
So the rail trails, they're paved. Are all the trails paved?
So for the Empire State Trail specifically, I would say about 70% of it is paved. About 30% of it is what we'd call stone dust, or not gravel, like a gravel driveway, but crushed stone. Mm-hmm. That is, a lot of those sections are the historic sections of the Erie Canalway Trail.
The upkeep must be quite something.
Maintenance is definitely is time consuming and costly, and you know it is important. And a lot of those sections have been rehabilitated just over the last few years too. We kind of keep track of who's doing what, and we actually again work with our partners to kind of put out a report each year for all of the places that are improved across the state for those types of trails.
Do they close them at nightfall?
The trail itself is open dawn to dusk.
And how do you enforce that?
So it's up to the trail segment owner. We don't own the entire trail. We own portions of the Empire State Trail, but we have many, many partners. New York State Canal Corporation obviously owns a very large portion of the Erie Canalway Trail. There's a lot of counties, towns, New York State DOT, if it's along the roadway. Enforcement is really up to the landowner, but then also local enforcement. So if somebody were to have an emergency, we always just tell them, call 911. But, you know, enforcement isn't a big issue. Most folks are not looking to be out there in the middle of the night on the trail.
Chris Morris is our guest today. He manages the Trails Program at the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation, and he oversees the agency's Empire State Trail Program. If you have a question or comment, call us, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I want to talk a bit in a little while about trail etiquette. Now, we talked about the multi-use factor. I mean, I didn't even realize there were horse sections of this, but you have to be polite. So we'll talk about that in a minute, but I'm trying to get the geographic picture here. When this trail goes down closer to the New York City metro area, how are you getting in? How are you getting into the concrete jungle?
Well, so there is, you know, there's a network of old corridors that, you know, weren't being used anymore throughout the 20th century. And so, different agencies acquired those over the years. I don't know what the prior use of all of the corridors were, but, if anybody's familiar with in and out of Upper Manhattan or Lower Westchester County.
Yeah.
Down there, there's a trail called the South County Parkway or South County Trail, and that goes along some of the old parkways up through Westchester County. Generally, those are all old rail lines, and they go up through, as you reach this more suburban areas up through Putnam County and further north.
So then when you head west, mm-hmm. How close to the western edge of New York State do you get?
You get as far as you can west in Buffalo. It doesn't extend any farther south towards Pennsylvania, but in Buffalo, it goes to Buffalo Harbor State Park, which is right on the shore of Lake Erie. Beautiful new park that was developed in the last few years, and It's a stunning place to either start or end the trail, and Buffalo's a great city. I love Buffalo.
Has there been any discussion or any theorizing or thinking about maybe working with other states and connecting?
So we connect two trails, not only in other states, but across the country, too. So, you know, you can, in Buffalo, for instance, you can take trails that aren't part of the Empire State Trail proper, but you can connect to trails that Parks owns and other partners own north to Niagara Falls, take one of the bridges across and be in Canada. And I was actually just on the Friendship Trail in Canada a few weeks ago when we were vacationing there. So you can pick right up and head across, or you can head east into Connecticut. There's some other trails and, you know, kind of south in New York City and whatnot.
So cool. Chris Morris is our guest today from the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation and the Empire State Trail Program. Let's take a quick break here, and then we will get to the phones and the emails. It's 800-348-2551 or voxpop at wamc.org. Vox Pop, Rick Raff with you at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or voxpop at wamc.org. We talk about trails, specifically the Empire State Trail Program, and we're joined by Chris Morris, who manages the Trails Program at the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation. Before we get to the phones very quickly, and I think I told you, I don't know too much about hiking or trails or anything like that. It tends to interfere with my second job, which is watching the game. So there are people on feet. There are people on bikes. There are, in some spots, people on horses. Let's talk a little about trail etiquette. And it's got to be important on a 750-mile trail system.
Yeah. So trail etiquette specific to the Empire State Trail, of course, we have many sections that are very rural, out in the middle of nowhere. You may be the only person you see for miles, which is wonderful. You or, you know, if you're out there with a group, what we're seeing at, you know, post COVID, especially outdoor recreation across the country, is just up by tremendous amounts. Our park visitation goes up every year. On, you know, multi-use trails specifically, they're incredibly popular. And, you know, just, you know, near where I live, I'm a mile away from the trail. And, you know, in those suburban, urban locations, people are out walking their dogs, they're taking their kids out, yeah. They're going on their bikes, and maybe people are riding across the state, too. So, we really want people to think about that when they're in those areas and, you know, make sure they're slowing down, make sure that they're being aware, especially maybe they've got a dog on a leash, that other people may be coming the other direction. It's courtesy, right?
Yeah.
If you're coming up behind somebody, give a call out, ring your bell. Speeds, if you're on an e-bike, especially, one of the things that we're hearing, you know, just courtesy, people just watching their speeds and things like that.
Are there speed limits?
So there technically are speed limits. Some places they post them, depending on who the landowner is. Generally, it's around 15 miles an hour. But again, that gets kind of back to the enforcement issue, where if there's nobody there to, you know, whether you're in your car or your bike, you know, if there's nobody there to catch it, it's really up to you to do the right thing.
You know, you mentioned Putnam County and some of these areas I'm familiar with, and there are big rural areas, big chunks of area that are rural, and you said there are spots where you're not going to see anybody, perhaps, for miles. Are there camping spots along the trail?
So, yeah, great question. The trail, especially Empire State Trail, is really it's proving itself to be a tremendous tourism destination. There are people that, you know, ride, stay in hotels, bed and breakfasts along the trail. A lot of folks camp. There are camping locations that are shown on our website. We have a map that's interactive, and we show a lot of the campgrounds that are available within a certain mileage from the trail. Western New York, Central New York, around us. Definitely lots of camping opportunities. You can even camp at some of the state canal locks parks if you call ahead and get in touch with them. So that's pretty interesting. South of Albany, not quite as much camping, but there are, you know, I encourage folks, if you can't find it on our site, you know, use the web and look around, and I'm sure you'll find a place to stay, whether it's camping or a or another option.
You know, my family and I were in at the beach last week. We went up to the beach, and over maybe 5 years ago, maybe pre-COVID, they decided no more trash cans. Yeah. It's you bring it in, you take it out. Do you find that there are spots that perhaps are a little too littered?
I'll be honest. By and large, they're clean, especially in our parks, too. All of our parks are, you know, carry in, carry out, trails as well. You know, people are pretty respectful.
You know
trails
what?
Are clean.
I noticed the same thing at the beach, man. It was clean. People did what they were supposed to do. It's respect, really.
Yeah. The biggest thing we see, you know, I see dog poo bags around, and that's unfortunate.
That's bad. Yeah.
Take your dog poo home.
You shouldn't have the dogs on at all, right?
Dogs are okay.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, as long as they're on leash.
Is that the state policy?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Chris Morris is our guest. I won't get you in trouble. Chris Morris is our guest today. He manages the Trails Program at the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation, and he oversees the agency's Empire State Trail Program. Let's get to the phones in just a moment. A couple emails came in a while ago. This one's from Andrew. I know you are discussing trails, but I'm interested in orienteering, finding my way through the backwoods with a map and compass off trail. Is this allowed in New York State parks? I get the feeling going off trail is discouraged.
So, yes, under parks law, off-trail travel is not allowed. You're supposed to stick to designated ways, you know, the legalese of state law.
Sure.
It's in there in parks law. It's discouraged. It's not allowed. We want folks to stay on the trails, you know where they're going, know where they want to get to, and how to get back.
Dan writes in, and you and I just touched upon this a couple moments ago. Is there a network of inns and or camp areas along the trail for a multi-day trip?
Absolutely. And the best place, empiretrail.ny.gov, is our website. We have many, many locations for camping, bed and breakfasts, hotels listed. You put them right up on our web map, just like you would on any other map online, and you can zoom in and search around. You can plan them out that way. There are probably more than we have, I'm sure, that are out there. I don't think we've captured all of them. So, you know, if you don't find one in the place you're looking, you know, maybe go online and look.
You know, it just occurred to me, and I won't try to pin you down for an actual number because I never asked you this prior, but you said part of the trail is owned by private entities. So I assume some is owned by the state?
The majority is owned by either, you know, a state or local government. There are a few private landowners, but generally it's, you know, New York State Parks, Canal Corporation, DOT, different counties. Dutchess County owns a large portion. Depends on where you look across
and
the state.
And you oversee this. That's got to be very confusing and time-consuming thing to coordinate all that.
Again, we don't own it all, but we operate the website and we coordinate the communication amongst partners.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was away on vacation a couple of weeks ago, there were the four tornadoes that were confirmed to touch down, right? I got back and it immediately was reaching out to folks, or they were reaching out to me. If trees were down, we'd try to post that so folks know if they're going to run into a trail closure, either short-term or long-term, maybe if there's a trail repair happening. So, yeah, we do our best to coordinate and get the information out there, especially for those folks that are planning longer distance trips.
Are private entities tougher to deal with than municipalities?
I mean, again, we don't really deal with a lot of private entities. You know, there's generally one person that is, you know, designated to coordinate with, and, you know, they're fine.
Chris Morris is our guest today. He manages the Trails Program at the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation. Celebrating their 100th anniversary this year, the park centennial celebration going on all year long. I never realized there were 360,000 acres of beaches under your domain. That's amazing, man.
Think about almost all of the Long Island shore on the south side. We own a lot of that. It's beautiful.
Is Jones Beach part of that?
Yeah,
I spent a lot of time at Jones Beach as a youth.
Jones Beach is an incredibly popular place for our patrons and beautiful place to go.
Absolutely. All right, you ready to take some calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do this thing. 800-348-2551 is the number. Chris Morris is our guest, and we'll begin in the Adirondacks. It's Terry. You're on.
Hi, this is Terry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, great. I'm driving, and I apologize. I can't be stable now.
Gotcha.
But hopefully, I won't break up.
Okay.
I've been spending the last couple of summers sectioning the part of the trail from Cohoes I'm kind of going from Cohoes all the way up to Buffalo. And I'm curious because I'm as far as Rome right now, and I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about, are there any plans for development, and particularly in the urban areas where you got to go through Syracuse and all that kind of stuff, and the less fun parts of the trail. Can you talk about in the next year or two, is there any plans to do more refinement of the trail and improvement?
So Syracuse in particular, if you want to go a little inside baseball, the Empire State Trail was one of the most complicated places for the Erie Canalway Trail over the decades.
Why?
And really the push to build out the trail, that was the emphasis of all of the agencies getting behind the effort made that possible. And so now there is separated trail from just outside of Syracuse proper into Syracuse, and then you're on road in downtown Syracuse, but it's a separated lane or kind of a bike path all the way through until you reach the creek walk in Syracuse and exit, and then out to the state fairgrounds. So a lot of those sections that you may have thought were on road have either been improved or moved off road, Syracuse being one of them. So I would actually encourage you to go check out our map. It shows you what is on road and off road. It designates it by color, green for off road, yellow for on road, and a lot of those on road sections again are improved for bicycles. So there's more safety there. They're not just riding with traffic.
Thank you so much. I've been using the Trails app, but I hadn't gone to your website, and then I have an old paper map that I'm also using. Huh. But I'll go to your website and look at the updated map. Thank you so much.
Terry, thanks for the call. Chris Morris is our guest today. You mentioned some of these areas that are a bit more out in the woods, Syracuse not being one of them. Safety ever an issue? And is there cell coverage? Is anybody accosted by wild animals, et cetera, et cetera?
I don't take any. I've never received any emails about wild animal, maybe. I walk the trail in downtown Albany on my lunch break, and the geese down there are pretty wild. So,
All right, fair enough. And they're kind of ornery.
Not that I know of.
All right, fair enough. But, when you go north, even if you're on the Northway back in the day, cell coverage is pretty weak.
Yep.
Do you have decent cell coverage in all spots on that trail?
I don't know the coverage for some of the more remote sections of the trail. I would imagine that up in the North Country, as you go along the Champlain Valley, there's probably some sections where cell coverage is a little bit spotty.
Yeah.
And maybe some sections in the Hudson Valley, maybe some out west, in those more rural sections of, Wayne County or near, west of Brockport or something. But by and large, again, it's, you're near civilization most of the time, and you're going to get
New
coverage.
York. You're going to be near somewhat civilized places. The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Chris Morris is with us. He manages the Trails Program for the New York State Office of Parks, Rec, and Historic Preservation. He also oversees the Empire State Trail Program. Let's now go to talk to our buddy Merle, who happens to be in Argyle. Hello, Merle. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. How much time do I get?
You got about 2 seconds. No, I don't know. Why don't you ask your ask your question, brother? Go ahead.
All right. We can start with, you said you don't know much about Champlain Trail. There's a section on the Champlain Trail that runs, you got to go out on a dirt, unpaved road. It's walkable, but I've seen people with bikes, and they're having a hard time. So who's in control of that? That's one. Two is, are your hardened dirt trails, like the ones that go along the canal, are they wheelchair accessible?
All right.
And two...
I think that's three.
Right. Yeah, that
is
was
that
a three-parter.
For now?
That's 2A, I think you're on now, Merle. Yeah, let's start with what you just gave us. Go ahead, Chris.
Sure. So along the Champlain Valley, there are paved improved sections. There are dirt sections. There are sections that are co-aligned with dirt roads or paved roads. It really depends on where you're at along the trail. who owns it, who operates it. I know of a couple of those sections that you're talking about where it is along those dirt roads, which is near the Champlain Canalway.
The road is Towpath Road.
Yep. I know I know that one. Yep.
Okay. Well, I love Towpath Road, but I've seen people on bikes having struggle on.
Okay.
So it's not accessible for bikes. Definitely not accessible for wheelchairs.
Sure. So,
really not even accessible for walking because you're walking right in the road.
Yep. Depending.
So that's local, man.
Bro, let him talk here, there, brother. Go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say, depending on the placement, because that is a roadway, there may or may not have been, the ability to improve that and have it paved. That may be something where the municipality has to be involved. So it can be a little complicated depending on the trail ownership, where the trail's aligned and the condition of it. I know that some of those roads up there get a lot of truck traffic too. So, if they were improved and hardened and flattened, they may have been chewed up a little bit. So.
Yeah. All right, Merle. Great Expectations. I read that book. All right. You've been very concise by your standards, so you can have one follow-up. Go ahead.
Okay. The only problem I would have, for example, for Towpath Road, if you paved it, then instead of 25 miles an hour, they'll be going 55 miles an hour.
So you prove the point.
Merle, we're going to let you go here, man, but thank you very much. Appreciate it, and let's move on. 800-348-2551 is the number, and Chris Morris is our guest today. We're talking about New York State trails, and let's see. It looks like it's Don. Don, you're on.
Yeah, hi. We were actually on the trail today in East Greenbush, and I was trying to prepare before we got to it, and so I went online, looked at your map. It appears to be a Google map, but it really doesn't show where the trail goes, essentially, let's say, from the Hudson River going past up like the Route 90. Are you looking at improving that mapping capability?
I would want to know if you were on our official map, because we have the trail, whether it's on-road or off-road, there's a line to follow. You can zoom in as far as the map will allow you, and it shows the route incredibly precisely. So it might not have been our map that you were on, might have been a different one. You can certainly email me, and I can help you kind of clarify what you were looking at. But
no, I have the link on our page, but sure. Just for those listening at home, what is the website?
It's empiretrail.ny.gov. That's our website.
Trail singular, Empire Trail.
Yes.
NY.gov.
Yep.
Okay.
And, the other nice thing with the website, too, is if you're out there on the trail, you can pull up that site on your mobile phone. And if you have your GPS turned on, it'll actually put a point on the map on the trail where you are.
Oh, that's great.
And that is helpful.
Very cool.
So, shoot me an email if you need to dive in a little bit deeper.
Now, do you want to open that can of worms
people
and put your email
every day
out? All right, man. Go ahead. Let's have your email. Go ahead.
So the easiest way is est@parks.ny.gov. That's Empire State Trail for
thank you very EST much.
est@parks.ny.gov.
Don, thanks for the call. One more time, that email address?
est@parks.ny.gov.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Email on this program is voxpop@wamc.org. Chris Morris is here from the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation, and he manages the trails program for that entity. He also oversees the agency's Empire State Trail program. So let's now go to Schenectady and another caller Hall of Famer. It's Joan. Hello, Joan. You're on.
Hello, Ray. Welcome back. I missed your voice. As good as Sarah is,
she's
always
great.
Miss your voice.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Yep.
Don't get me started.
Okay.
Hey, great to hear this program. I, on the day of the eclipse, had made my way up to Tupper Lake, and I had the privilege of walking a bit of a while. The rails, the actual iron rails, had just been pulled up, from where I parked my car, and the graded pathway led on for some while. Can you tell me anything about that Tupper Lake extension?
So that is the Adirondack Rail Trail. That is an absolute gem.
Yeah.
I am so pleased that that's finally come to fruition. It's portions of that have been in the public domain for a very, very long time, and it's being built out. I will say that the Tupper Lake section is not open to the public. DEC would scold me if I didn't clarify that. And DEC is the agency that's leading the development of the Adirondack Rail Trail from Lake Placid.
Gotcha.
So right now, Lake Placid to Saranac Lake is open to the public. 13 miles, I want to say, something like that. Maybe 9-ish. And then beyond Saranac Lake is in progress. If it's not open already, there's like a 2/3 of the way. And then beyond that to Tupper Lake is kind of a phase three. So I know that the trail is incredibly popular, and I know that they're having problems with folks visiting sections that aren't open yet. So I'd encourage you to go to a section that is open a little bit further east. But yeah,
Thank you.
An amazing opportunity to ride from Tupper Lake to Lake Placid.
All right, Joan.
Yeah.
You good?
Well, thank you. I was never there then.
All right, Joan, just don't get arrested before the next show. Thanks a lot for the call, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll take a break. 800-348-2551. That's the number, 800-348-2551. Chris Morris is here. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC, Ray Graff with you. This doesn't really sound like trail music, but there you have it. Lalo Schifrin and Dizzy Gillespie and some, 70s kind of funky stuff. We're joined today by Chris Morris, who manages the trails program at the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation. He oversees the agency's Empire State Trail Program. Having fun so far?
Love it.
Regretting your decision to come on the program?
Not a bit. I can't wait to book the next one.
We still have time for you to regret it. All right, this email, and then we'll get back to the phones. This one's from Andrew, and I don't know if you have any ideas on this one. Subject heading, bridges. Do you have any good resources to learn how to build simple to complex trail crossing for bridge designs? I want to build a bridge that has a 10-foot soon over a creek for foot traffic. Right now, I have a few boards, but want to build something more robust. Are there any pros or cons to certain materials over others?
Wow. I'm not an engineer.
Okay, good.
And I don't play one on TV. The easiest place I would direct you to maybe for some resources like that is U.S. Forest Service. U.S. Forest Service has a number of design documents that they make available to the public. That might be a good resource. Generally, a bridge like that, people use, lumber. But, it really depends on the type of use that's in there. That's something that my day job, we deal with that within parks, right? But we work with our engineering staff and the trails folks that are building them. So, U.S. Forest Service is probably a good resource for that.
That's a good answer. I mean, has anyone ever asked you how to build a bridge before?
Not specifically, but we get questions on bridges a lot. Even internally, we always want to know best practices and what are we going to be building where, and flooding is obviously a tremendous thing now, so we're building everything wider and taller and that's a big consideration.
Chris Morris is with us today from the New York State Office of Parks, Rec, and Historic Preservation. It is the 100th anniversary of the creation of the State Council of Parks. Goes back to Alfred E. Smith. That's a long, long time ago. And let's go back to our phone lines now into Stone Ridge. And Ivan, you're on. Or is it Yvonne?
It's Ivan, and this is a rather quick question.
Okay.
I'm doing a program called Cycle the Hudson Valley, and the organization is called New York Parks and Trails. Is New York Parks and Trails part of your organization, or is it separate?
So the organization is Parks and Trails New York, and they are a partner of ours. I work very closely with the staff there on a number of things, but they are not you know, they're not part of State Parks Agency. They're their own nonprofit. They are the statewide advocate for trails in New York. Great organization and great events that they put on. So have a great ride.
All right, Evan.
As I'll just mention again, the event is a bike ride over several days from Albany to Manhattan.
That's correct.
You've answered my question.
Cool, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's now go to Bennington, Vermont. Peter, you're on.
Hi, Ray. I'm a big fan. And Chris, thanks for being on the show. I was planning on cycling the Erie Canal Trail this fall, and I just wanted to ask Chris, would he recommend kind of packing a tent, or can you usually typically find a place to find a roof over your head? And then my second question is, the map online for the trail is pretty good, but I imagine there must be spots where it's pretty spotty service and all that kind of stuff. And is there any plans for an app or an app-based kind of program that you can pull up on your phone when you're kind of in the middle of nowhere?
I love that.
Great question. So a couple things. Back to for your first question, as far as lodging, you can definitely take a tent. You can camp the whole trail. I know, you know, many folks that plan to do it and do it. You know, and I think especially from Albany to Buffalo, plenty of camping opportunities and you know, whether it's a private campground operated or, you know, even if in a state park, if there's something nearby, you can camp at one of our parks and make a reservation that way. Just as easily, I would imagine, between hotels, motels, and bed and breakfasts along the trail, you can find, you know, a mix of those to stay in. And to your second question, as far as the mapping, we have talked about a mobile app. You know, app development is pretty intense. The website has, you know, it can be used on a mobile device. So at this time, we don't have any plans to make an app. There is a New York State Parks app, and we've talked about bringing the Empire State Trail into that. That's more focused on our kind of, you know, traditional parks and historic sites where there's a boundary and you're inside of that,
sure,
and you're not going across the entire state.
Peter, you want to follow up?
Great. No, that's wonderful. And thank you for all your work. And I look forward to riding it this fall.
Sure.
Hey, don't hang up yet, Peter. I have a quick question for you about hiking. So you're in the Bennington,
sure,
Vermont area. And I assume you're a hiker.
Yep.
You're a hiker, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you ever been on Glastonbury Mountain?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
I stumbled on this.
That's a real crazy area back there.
Yeah, man. I stumbled on this information. I don't know how. I was looking at trails today online before the show. This Bennington Triangle business and the ghost towns and such. I am fascinated by this, Peter. We might have to do a show on that in 2025.
That's a good one. That's a good one, Ray.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number. Chris Morris is our guest. He manages the Trails Program for the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation. He oversees the agency's Empire State Trail Program. You mentioned people bring camping gear on the trail, and they'll let you bring pack mules.
Lightweight camping, right?
Yeah,
you know,
say.
It's lots of the folks that I see the groups riding, you know, they'll split up the camping gear amongst the three or four or six folks that they've got riding, and you know, somebody carries the pads and the tent. But you know, I've not done it. I've not bike packed. I've not done any long distance rides like that. So, you know, the actual details of it I'm a little fuzzy on, but people definitely do it, and you know, you pack light.
Have you ever done an overnight on your Empire State Trail?
Not an overnight on the trail by bike. You know, I've done many overnights on different.
So you're a biker and not a walker?
I'm a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. No horses for me, but
no horses?
No, I don't own a horse. Don't ride a horse.
2025. Let's go to Little Falls and Philip, you're on.
Hi. I have a big suggestion. Well, it could be big, but it's from Boy Scouts a long time ago. Bear Mountain, Seven Lakes Trails with the Boy Scouts. Had a beautiful, great time. Hiked a little bit in Vermont. Those are mountains are about twice as high as the Bear Mountain region, but and it takes a lot more. So it takes a lot more to get over them, but. The big idea from Boy Scouts is you bury the fertilizer.
I see.
So, I mean, even maybe even a camping store, they have a fold-up little shovel thing.
Sure.
Like
so,
flower pot shovel.
I'm guessing
pulled
this
up
is.
And you just,
this is about human excrement, to be
human
clear. Here,
dog waste.
What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking about doggy dudes.
I see.
Dog waste isn't necessarily something we want to be bringing into our parks and burying. Yeah. In the backcountry, there's an organization, Leave No Trace. If you're in the backcountry, they do recommend you can dig a hole and bury your waste. They have bags now, actually, that they're, I think if I'm not mistaken, they're called WAG bags or something like that, where they're actually encouraging you to pack up your waste and take it out because places are so popular because, you get a lot, 100 people trying to bury their waste along the trail is a lot of
tremendous
little holes.
So I'm glad we're down this route.
We won't
route.
Be doing that.
Philip, thanks a lot for that. 800-348-2551 is the number. Chris Morris is our guest. This email from Kaylee. There's a lot of great attention given to integrating ADA accessibility into trails and parks. Could you highlight some of the great work you're doing? And that's from Kaylee.
Wow, it's setting me up, Kaylee. That's great. So, we have some excellent work being done. I work with our ADA coordinator in our agency and also at our partner agency with DEC a fair bit. Accessibility is a big priority for our agency, for the state in general. One of the things that we're doing, me specifically and folks that I work with, we actually have a piece of equipment that will measure and perform assessments on existing trails and tell you if they are within the specifications for the Americans with Disabilities Act Architectural Barriers Act, whichever federal law do you need to follow for that trail. And if not, how could you make it that way? How far out of spec is it? So we're trying really hard to find trails that are or could be made accessible within a reasonable time frame and cost. And then kind of part two of that is making them known, right? I would love to be able to get them up just on our website as a accessible destinations place and have folks know where they can go and enjoy that. A lot of the Empire State Trail, especially the paved sections, are accessible for persons of all abilities. There are a few sections, especially the older sections of the trail that may not, maybe the surfacing or there might be a few steep sections, but the majority of it is.
Now, there's a great network of snowmobile trails in New York. Is there any matrix between the two?
There is a little bit, yeah. So some of the Empire State Trail you can snowmobile on. Actually, Montgomery County, just a little bit west of here, you're allowed to snowmobile on in the winter. Snow is kind of going the way of the dinosaur in some of the places of the state, especially downstate. So places that might have allowed snowmobiling may not even have it anymore. We've talked about that in some of our parks when we're looking at long-term planning with them. The Adirondack Rail Trail, actually, we were talking about, to my knowledge, is allow snowmobiling in the winter up there. So, that's obviously a popular activity.
Chris Morris is our guest, and let's go back to the phones. It's Robert in Wappingers Falls. Robert.
No. Yes, hi. How are you doing?
Good. You're on.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm great.
I frequently ride the rail trail from...
Oh, do we lose Robert? Robert still says he's connected, but Robert, you're muted. Shall we? What happened? All right, we'll put him on hold. I hope not all the calls are. Let's see if I can do this. Sorry, Chris. These things happen from time to time. And all right, let's try another one. We'll go to Michael in Otsego County. Michael, you're on. Yeah, I thought this was going to happen. So, what else you got?
I don't know. What do we talk about?
Tell me about this challenge once again and how people get involved
and
why you'd want to.
So, it's great to participate in these. And, it's really about, showcasing our park system. If people have a park that they love, they're kind of self-promotion, right? They're getting out there and enjoying it.
Yeah.
The main thing is to download the app and participate that way. You can find the different challenges, and you can kind of check them off as you complete them. Another piece, like we said earlier, the share your story. People can email their stories from, their favorite place that they picnicked in the park or their favorite family trip.
Oh, my gosh, we got our phones back. Well, hate to interrupt you there, Chris, but Here's what happened, Michael, in Otsego County. We lost the phones, and then they came back, and now you're on the air. So thank you.
Thank you
for not swearing.
I guess I'll watch what I say.
Yeah, that's great. Go ahead.
Anyway, I had a question. I'm an amputee, and I need an e-trike partially, and I was wondering, are you allowed to use those on the trails?
Sure. So your device is a powered mobility device, and that isn't, that kind of is outside of any classification of motorized device or anything like that, because it is, as a person with a disability, you're a pedestrian for all intents and purposes, and then your mobility device lets you participate as a pedestrian would. So large, those are allowed pretty much anywhere.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Hey, man, thanks a lot for the call. But e-bikes, they're sometimes restricted?
So e-bikes are a complicated piece. The country in general has been dealing with, the different classifications and rulemaking around e-bikes, federal, state. Everybody's a little bit different.
Right.
Advocates have been kind of working through that for the last, 10-ish years at least. In New York State, e-bikes are legal now. They're not considered motorized devices anymore. There's different classifications, which kind of gets complicated. There's 1, 2, and 3. Class 3 e-bikes are really only in New York City, and those are kind of like the delivery driver bikes and, the folks, bringing your meal to you. But outside of the city, Class 1 and Class 2 are the ones that are allowed.
Right.
You can ride them on roads 30 miles an hour or less. You can ride them on a majority of rail trails and bike paths and things. However, the ultimate decision is up to the local landowner. So whether that's parks, our agency, or whether that's, a county or somebody else, the city, whether it's City of Albany or whatever, they can make the rule saying only this type is allowed or none are allowed.
All right. Who's in charge of the signage then? In other words, if I'm on my e-bike, which is something which will never, ever happen, but if I'm maybe a moped from 1978, but not an e-bike. If I'm on the thing and I'm on the trail having a great time, and then I hit a municipality that doesn't allow it, how do you know?
So I'll answer specifically for the Empire State Trail. We've talked to all of our partners, and there's not any section that I know of that doesn't allow an e-bike. There is one section in the Hudson Valley that doesn't allow Class 2 e-bikes. But, that was important for us to at least note on our website that, if you want to ride an e-bike and do your complete trail, you're not going to hit that sign. Some counties, some landowners are very proactive about putting up signs about what is allowed and what isn't. But I think a lot of local government is still kind of trying to figure it out, and a lot of times signage is the last to come. So the most important thing I would say is if there's a question, reach out to whatever trail you'd be on, whoever you can find that owns and manages the trail, or the Parks Department or whatever it is.
Gotcha. All right, Chris Morris is our guest. Chris, let's take one more quick call, and then I'll give you about 30 seconds to cover everything I forgot to ask you about. All right, so let's go to Elizabeth and Skodak. Elizabeth, hello.
Hi. Oh, I'm so glad I made it. I live adjacent to the Empire Trail, and I have two questions. One, is there any way to inform bike riders who are welcome to please have the manners to call out, on your left, on your right, because there have been many times that I or people I know have been completely startled by a bike zooming up on their left or right without any sort of warning. So that's one thing.
Okay.
The other is we are currently fighting a solar farm that is trying to go up above us on one of the more beautiful vistas off the trail. It would be a huge solar farm. And I'm wondering how you feel about solar farms, because the Empire Trail follows the former power. It's still the power line.
Right.
And so it's particularly favorable in the solar farm mind to hooking up to it.
Okay.
And it would basically destroy, if they have them all along the trail, that's what you're going to be looking at is solar panels.
We don't have very much time for Chris to answer now. So
I'm unfortunately, just due to time, I'll punt on the renewable energy question. Only, burning fossil fuels is bad.
Okay.
Solar, sighting is a complicated thing. For the bike etiquette piece, you just did it, right? It's about getting the word out. People should, if they're on the trail, alert people if they're coming up and use their bell. They should have a bell and ding your bell. Let people know you're coming up.
Ring the bell. We hear that? That's Count Basie. That's our bell. That means we're done. Now, Chris Morris, you're going to have to come back,
Absolutely.
We'll do it next spring. We'll have you on.
As we're getting... getting going.
In the meantime, before we get out of here, one more time, the website.
Sure. empiretrail.ny.gov. Go there, check out the map, zoom into, you know, where you live, figure out how close you are to getting on the trail, where you can go park your car, ride, walk your dog, and get out there for the centennial.
Beautiful job, sir. Thanks for being with us. Support comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, celebrating 26 years, specializing in distinctive eyewear, European styling and prescription and non-prescription sunglasses, eye exams by appointment, Identity Eyewear, Albany.com. The Glimmer Glass Festival, presenting Elizabeth Cree, one of the four main stage productions of the 2024 season. Season calendar and ticket information at glimmerglass.org. And Curtis Lumber, offering virtual bathroom design services featuring Marilot cabinets and Cambria quartz countertops. Consultations available, curtislumber.com. Once again, thanks to Chris Morris for being here today. Thank you for listening. Tremendous calls. Sorry if we didn't get to yours. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Susie Check, I screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's Food Friday. We welcome back a couple of old pals, Chef Josh Coletto and a mystery guest. We'll see you tomorrow at 2:00.